AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into the All-22 NFL Show, the official channel of the All-22 Fantasy Football platform. It's the only fantasy football game with full 53-man rosters, including offensive linemen, where you get to choose personnel packages and have access to PFF grading and advanced stats to make decisions each week. To learn more and sign up, go to all-22.com. And if you do, send an email to info@all-22.com. We will put you in a league. Currently, league creation is disabled. Ray. Happy, you know, we're past Thanksgiving, I guess. I don't know if you still wish happy Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving? How was your turkey? How was it watching 4 days of like pretty awesome football?
Yeah, until Monday, right? I mean, it was great until Monday night. Yeah, it was good, man. It was good. I had a lot of food. I still got a little bit left, you know, after the turkey bowl. I was like, okay, I still got a little bit left, you know, mid-30s, but there's a little something in the tank still. You wouldn't know because you didn't show up. But yeah, there's still a little something left in there.
Love that, dude. I'm actually going to be playing in a flag football league for the first time in like 10 years. So we're going to find out real quick if I still have it, which I know I do. And dude, I actually did something pretty awesome. So if you take like the bones from your turkey and just boil the crap out of it with some like carrots and stuff, like celery, whatever you got, throw it in there and just boil it. Dude, you got soup. You got soup for after Thanksgiving. Had that today. I feel like everybody in my house is sick, which is why I didn't play football with you on Thanksgiving. You have a little turkey soup. I'm feeling better already, man.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, that good health tip. I got some chili going tonight. It's snowing up here in the Northeast, so got a nice hot chili cooking for dinner tonight. So, oh yeah, can't wait to dig in. I'm sure the audience, they care so much. We talked about it last episode. They care so much about how I'm doing, what I'm eating. You know, and my emotional well-being, they care.
They definitely care. Group. And, you know, the people don't get to see what happens before the episode, but essentially Ray brought zero energy going into this. So I am going to try to bring the energy because this is literally one of my favorite things to talk about. Okay. We are going to be having a conversation about what teams we think that they have their franchise quarterback, which ones we think have their franchise quarterback, and what concerns about these quarterbacks are actually real and which ones aren't. This is like my favorite thing to talk about. We did a little bit of JJ McCarthy, Michael Penix last week, and it kind of led us to this conversation of like, I don't know if there are many teams that actually have a franchise quarterback. And I thought before we even begin the conversation, Ray, why don't we define what we think a franchise quarterback is? Like, I don't know if you and I even agree on what that means. So I want to hear you go first and tell me what you think a franchise quarterback is to you.
All right. I'm the long-winded guy, so I'm going to try to be as succinct as I can. Franchise quarterback, I can win a Super Bowl with this guy, and at no point in the near future am I even thinking about replacing him. He is a very positive net value add to my football team. I can win a Super Bowl, not looking to replace him at all in the near future because he's that good.
Okay, so I mostly agree with your take there. Thank you for keeping it brief. I have one exception. I think if you're talking about a franchise quarterback, you need to be thinking of him as an asset for your team for 3 years at least. Like if you're talking about a guy that's a one-year player for you, to me, that's not a franchise quarterback. It's a, you know, you might have a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, ready to retire, but that's not a franchise quarterback. Like that's a stopgap, right? Or that's a, hey, let's put our eggs in this basket and try to win something. So I think that's going to be part of the conversation today while we go through these tiers is, to me, it needs to be at least 3 years. What do you think of that?
Yeah. 3 years is fine. 3 years goes like this, man. That's
I thought you were going to fight me. I thought you were going to be like, oh, no, it's got to be 5 years. It's got to be six. So I was expecting a little bit more combat.
I would say that, and then I have my notes, and so like I would contradict myself if I did say that. But just because I draft for 10 years into the future doesn't mean that I define a franchise quarterback as to whether or not he's still really good 10 years from today.
All right. We're in agreement there. And another thing I'm very excited about with this, I think this has to be kind of like a 3-episode show. Like, this is part one of what we have in store. And the reason being is because if we talk in depth about each of these teams and their quarterback situations, I mean, this would be a 5-hour podcast, right? So we're just not going to do that. So we kind of broke it down into tiers. And I thought today would be good to go through our top two tiers. And before we go into it, I'll just say tier one, we're calling elite, right? These are the players that we think are actually elite, the teams that have elite quarterbacks that we think are going to be there for the long term. And there really aren't major concerns involved in those elite quarterbacks. Okay. Tier two that we're going to be talking about today is the elite tier, but guys, maybe we're nervous about. So we're calling it elite, but nervous. So again, it's like, there's going to be some guys in here that you're going to probably argue being like, what's the difference between quarterback A you just talked about and the elite tier and this guy? We're going to go through why we think, hey, maybe you need to be a little bit nervous about this guy that we are also agreeing is elite, but has a little bit more downside than some of the guys in the top tier. So, Ray, I asked you to put together a list. I'm sure you didn't do that.
Of course.
Would you like to kick it off, or would you like me to?
I have a great list. I have a list actually for all 32 teams. It's amazing.
That's awesome. So do you want to tell me, like, in your elite tier, tier one, how many guys are in that tier?
1, 2, 3, 4.
I have 4. All right, dude. We might agree on some stuff.
We're going to agree. This is going to be terrible. Yeah, I got to go first take for like the second half of this episode.
Did you go like, hey, this is my guy that I think is like the team that has the best situation, or it's tier one is just random?
I don't rank like that, like first versus. I don't do that. Yeah, you know, I don't do that.
No,
I know.
It's annoying. It's annoying. Yeah. All right, go ahead. Tell us who's one of the people on your elite list.
I mean, we're going to start nice and easy for everybody. It's Pat Mahomes. He's still Pat Mahomes. The answer is Pat Mahomes. If you're like, oh, well, actually, you're overthinking it. It's Pat Mahomes. Okay, yes, he's quarterback 10 right now, grade-wise, and in all 22. But it's still Pat Mahomes. Okay, I mean, just going through the list from the of just where he finished grade wise since he became a full time starter in 2018 among all qualifying quarterbacks in the NFL, in just overall offensive grade, everything taken into account: 2nd, 5th, 4th, 13th, 2nd, 9th, 7th, and currently 10th. But even just this past Thanksgiving in a loss, you saw how he basically just put the entire team on his back and nearly won the game single-handedly for the Chiefs against the Cowboys. So I think this is a bona fide, you know, top five quarterback in any given year over the long haul. Incredible consistency, regardless of the situation around him, which hasn't been great for the last couple of years. He's been throwing to, a receiving group on the lower end of the NFL. He's got Rashee Rice now, and that's kind of slowly turning around. But by and large, he's had subpar weapons for at least a couple of years now. The offensive line has deteriorated around him. They're trying to invest there.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Draft with Simmons and such. They do have Creed Humphrey, so it's okay, but clearly he's elevated everything around him for the better part of a decade now. It's Pat Mahomes, still in his prime, still several years left, no end in sight currently as I knock on this wooden table. It's Mahomes. Don't overthink it.
All right, so I have Mahomes on my list too. I'm just going to kind of piggyback on some of what you said, right? So 5 of his 9 years in the NFL, he's had 90-plus offensive grading, right? Overall grading and PFF grading. So phenomenal, right? The thing that I actually wrote down that I thought was a cool discussion point, right? since he is essentially the most winning quarterback active in the NFL, I'm a true believer that I think if the NFL started today, or if you asked all 32 teams, who would you take one overall? I think it's Mahomes, right? Because maybe year in and year out, he's not finishing QB1, but he's winning Super Bowls like nobody else, right? Does that mean he's automatically like the guy everybody would take first overall?
I would still take him first overall. Well, I mean, we'll get into some other quarterbacks that people have contend for that spot, and I get the arguments for some. Maybe there's a newcomer to that list that hasn't been there in a few years that we'll talk about, but it has to be. It's by far the safest move, and not safe because it has, you know, yes, it has a high floor, but we're not talking about a low ceiling either. This is high floor, highest ceiling of any quarterback in the league when he's on, and he's proven it time and time again. It's still Mahomes. Maybe after another couple years, if he's 34, then you start to have that discussion about age and longevity. But right now, you can't overthink it. It would still be Mahomes for me, but I get if someone says Allen and, you know, the arguments for it. Yes, there's stuff on the ledger for that side of the argument, but I'm still taking Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, Allen has his big moments too, right? I don't want to take that away from him, but I don't think anybody has bigger moments than Mahomes has had. And, you know, you touched on kind of his offensive line, and even though it's been less than ideal, he still has this year the third highest pass blocking team grade for the Chiefs. So like he's playing behind an offensive line and receivers that know how to block. So definitely love that. So like to answer the two questions, like, do I think the Chiefs have their franchise quarterback? Yes. Do the Chiefs think they have the franchise quarterback? Yes. But there are concerns I still have. So like, yes, he's in this elite tier, but if I had to say, right, like the last 2 years, we are seeing a slight decline in grading, 83.3 and a 76.4 offensive overall grade. What does he look like now, right? Like Tyreek Hill is gone and Travis Kelce is starting to decline. Like, are we seeing this kind of downward spiral because he's losing Hall of Fame talent, right? Are they going to be able to replace that? And then also, like, what happens if Andy Reid really does decide to hang it up at some point? Like, one of the oldest head coaches in the NFL, obviously one of the most winning head coaches in the NFL. What does Patrick Mahomes look like without Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and if Andy Reid really does decide to retire? I suspect if that happens, the next greatest head coach in the pipeline is going to want to be the Chiefs head coach. So I think the replacement will be a good coach, but like you're replacing three NFL talents and coach, receiver, and tight end. Like, how does he look after that?
I'm not concerned. I think it'd be just fine. He's going to make Rasheed Rice a household name as long as Rasheed Rice stays out of jail, and we'll be just fine. I'm not worried about it at all. I think he's completely scheme proof. To me, his biggest moments are when the scheme is just not there, and it's just him and basically playing in a parking lot. That's when Mahomes is at his best. That's when he was at his best, just on Thanksgiving in front of everybody a few days ago. So I think he's proven to be scheme proof, and that his best moments are, again, outside of structure. So obviously a great scheme helps anybody, but I think he's got enough bona fides outside of structure at this point in his career that I'm not worried about whatever post Andy Reid life looks like, whenever that is, because I'm sure Andy Reid has no desire to step away from coaching anytime soon. And why would you, if you have Pat Mahomes, and this is what Reid lives for. He loves to do this stuff. So I still don't see that even in the medium term being much of a risk. So 3 years from now, I think Andy Reid is still there.
Okay. All right. Let's just get the other one off. Right. Cause like there's two that everybody's going to agree on, and that's Josh Allen, right? We mentioned him a little bit earlier. 29-year-old Josh Allen, maybe the most consistently elite quarterback in the NFL in terms of grading. So the past 5 years, consistently, he's had 90-plus PFF grading. So again, Patrick Mahomes has had five in of his nine, but not consistently. Josh Allen legitimately has five in a row over 90, which is incredible. We're not seeing that many times, like if you're not a Hall of Fame talent. Typically is finishing first or second overall in that offensive grading, consistently stable organization as well, right? Like this is an organization that has stuck with its head coach, has consistently put an offensive line that is reasonable in front of him, right? Consistently fighting in the playoffs, deep into the playoffs most times, right? Like this is a team that I would say is very, very stable to support his continued success, which I like. His offensive line this year is sixth in pass blocking. So again, another really good offensive line. Before I say more, anything you want to add before I go into like maybe there are a couple
concerns? I think he makes them better because I think it's hard to just genuinely pass rush against Josh Allen because he can escape and just destroy you with his legs. So that's a part of it. He helps make that offensive line better because of the threat of his legs at any given point in time.
Yeah. Okay. So do the Bills think they have a franchise quarterback? Yes. Do we think they have a franchise quarterback? Yes. But are there concerns? Yes. He is 29 years old. At what point will he have to change his play style? And will he be able to continuously be elite playing the way he's playing today as he starts to go into his 30s? Or will that have to change, right? We're seeing it with like Jackson Dart, like guys that run the ball very viciously, right? Even though Josh Allen is a massive body, are we concerned that as he ages, that's going to change? You talked about that offensive line gets a little bit of a break because Josh Allen can navigate it well, can escape. You know, he's strong. He breaks tackles. He gets out of sacks. At what point does that start to change? And we have to say, you got to stay in the pocket a little bit more. You have to throw it out of bounds a little bit more. You need to check down Charlie a little bit more. Like, at what point does that become a real concern? And the other one I had is just, will the Bills really keep the coach continuously if he doesn't win a Super Bowl? At what point do they say, we got to try it with somebody else? So those are the two things that came to mind for me.
I think Josh Allen actually does a really good job of turning it on and off when he needs to in order to protect himself. You see how sometimes he just has his best games against teams like the Ravens and the Chiefs and these big opponents. And then he kind of struggles against like the Dolphins. He's not throwing caution to the wind against the bottom of the AFC East. He's just not anymore. I think he does a really good job of actually protecting himself and turning it on when he needs to, and then using his physical prowess and his legs to, you know, to sort of break games open, basically. I think he does a good enough job where I'm not concerned about his body breaking down so much as I am about others that we'll get into during this whole series. So I think he does a great job of that. I think the Bills would be foolish to get rid of McDermott. And just, I understand complaints that people have about him and concerns and all that. Yeah. But it's kind of like in college football, how the entire Southeastern Conference basically lost their minds over the last decade and a half because Nick Saban just made everybody irrational. He just defied all expectations and everybody was just chasing this ghost of competing with him. That's kind of what it is in the AFC with Mahomes right now. And it's his conference, and you're trying so hard to get over the mountaintop against perhaps the greatest of all time, or one of them for sure, that, you know, you can sort of lose yourself in the sauce of just trying to get over that hump when it's basically you just have to stick to what works, stay rational, make, you know, stack good days, good decisions, all the cliches, just stick with it. And eventually you can break through. If you start trying to chase that ghost, bad things can happen. All right. It's like if you have a deficit, you know, it's the same old adage. You can't score a 14-point touchdown, right? You got to go one drive at a time. Same thing kind of applies when you're competing in the AFC right now during the Mahomes era. So I don't think the Bills will do that. I will say I do think they need a receiver, a bona fide receiver that they're searching for ever since they lost Stephon Diggs. And Diggs was exiting his prime anyway, and we'll talk about him. But Coleman's, you know, your two top upside targets can't be Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman. You need an alpha receiver when the competition is that stiff at the top of your conference. And right now they don't have that. So they need Josh Allen to turn on that switch that I mentioned earlier and go bananas against the best teams in that conference, basically all on his own, because there is no other super weapon on that offense. James Cook is great. The running game works. They do a great job with that diversified run game they have. But you really need a bona fide star on the outside right now, and they don't have that. So they are swimming upstream right now to try to compete.
I was thinking about it the other day when I was preparing for this and just thinking about how like prime Tom Brady got like Randy Moss, just like all of a sudden it was like, oh, imagine you gave Jamar Chase to Josh Allen, right? Like what would that look like, right? Like what would Justin Jefferson with Josh Allen look like? Like, I don't know if we're ever going to see that with Josh Allen. I really am not sure we will. I would love it if it happened. I would absolutely love it. And I agree with you. I think that's what they need. What's that?
Should have got George Pickens maybe. I mean, wouldn't that have been a sight to see?
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, he he's going to be a free agent. So like could technically happen.
Franchise tag.
Could you, can you franchise tag him? Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's like slightly a knucklehead. So Jerry loves him. You know, Jerry's going to love him. Jerry's going to prove the point. Like slightly. After the Micah thing, Jerry's on a rampage to just like, to prove that he can make all these good moves and keep all these good players. Yeah. Pickens isn't going anywhere, at least for 2026.
All right. Well, do you want to lead it off with the next person you have on your list? I was actually just trying to look up like to see if like Ladd McConkey went after
Keon Coleman. Don't do that.
I'm just like trying to see like, because that draft was really kind of interesting, like why they ended up taking, because they traded back, right? They gave the Chiefs Xavier Worthy, they traded back. And I was trying to see who went before or who went after Keon Coleman, and I just couldn't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, Coleman, hindsight's 2020. I don't hate him for it too much. I really don't.
I didn't love Coleman. He wasn't nearly as that high on my, I mean, Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett. So, okay. So those are the guys that went right before him after they traded back, but Ladd McConkey was the pick after.
Yeah, that hurts. That hurts.
That hurts a little bit, right?
that hurts a little bit. Yeah. Oh, that hurts. But you know what? It's fine. Okay. He's still a good player. He's just not the alpha. He's just not the alpha. And honestly, when you look at late first round type of receivers, and I know he went, I think, top second, whatever, the hit rate's not that great at the receiver spot. You're either drafted really highly and successful at receiver, but those late first round guys, the hit rate is actually pretty low if you go back several years. Yep. So just another thing to note there, enviable or unenviable position to need a receiver at that spot in the draft, because you're kind of in no man's land there.
Yeah. And anyway, I think the conversation gets interesting now. So again, do you want to go next? Do you want to keep it going?
Do I have to do this like the third time in 5 weeks where Dak Prescott better be in your tier at this point? If you say anything else, I need to hear your reasoning. That's
not
ridiculous.
In my elite tier.
What are you nervous about? What are you nervous about? That he might get hurt again?
Do we want to do it right now, or do we want to like... You talk.
All right. Well, yeah. I have one more name outside of Dak Prescott. See if we agree.
Do Dak. You already mentioned Dak. Let's do Dak. Okay. Tell me why you think he deserves to be in that tier, and then I'll give you
in his last two healthy seasons. So this year, 2025, and in 2023, he was a bona fide MVP candidate. He was the MVP runner up in 2023 to Lamar Jackson. He is in the MVP conversation now, or really should be, especially now that his defense isn't like all time bad at this moment. And now they might actually make the playoffs despite a horrendous start to the season because of said all time bad defense. He is currently the second highest graded quarterback in the league as of right now. He's top three in big time throws, fourth in adjusted completion percentage, second in pressure to sack ratio, meaning second lowest, so second best in the league, third most completions for first downs, second in TDs of 25. All while, again, every starting offensive lineman has missed time with injury this year except for Terrence Steele, who everyone would have said was the weakest link on that offensive line heading into this year, most likely, at least talent-wise. Plus, CeeDee Lamb has missed time. And you talk about George Pickens, oh, well, he's got two really good receivers. Yeah, okay, fine. But you can't sit here and on one hand, which everybody does, slam the Steelers for saying, look at how George Pickens was so bottled up and you didn't let him cook when he was there in Pittsburgh. But then at the same token, not give credit to Dak Prescott for George Pickens' ascension in Dallas and some of the throws that he has made that resulted in some of those Pickens highlights in the recent past here. It goes hand in hand. So you have to give credit where you give blame to the other side. And his contract is locked in for the foreseeable future. He's the highest paid quarterback in the league right now. They couldn't get out of it if they wanted to, not that they have any reason to at the moment. He pretty much held the team afloat until the defense became even just slightly below average to keep them in the playoff hunt with a huge game coming up against Detroit this week. If not for Dak Prescott, this is maybe a one or two win team because he's had to win games without punting maybe more than twice. Otherwise, it's an automatic loss given that defense for the entirety of this season up until they acquired Quinnen Williams. So he's played at a bona fide elite level this year by any metric. And the last season before this one in 2023, when he was healthy, he was also a bona fide elite quarterback as the MVP runner up. So at this point, the body of work is this is an elite player. It's just he's had some injuries. That's the only thing that you can truly knock him for, unless you want to go, you know, galaxy brain, Twitter, ESPN first take, you know, herp dirt playoff success stuff, which is not what we do here because we have better than room temperature IQs.
Yeah. You made great points, right? Like, I agree with everything you said. We are doing two tiers today. We're doing the elite and we are doing the elite with concerns. He is in my elite with concerns. I'll go over why. Okay. So 6 of 10 years in the NFL, he's had over 80 grading, which is phenomenal. But only one of those years did he have over 90 grading. So when we're talking about putting him in the same tier as Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, guys that have 5 years of 90 plus grading, that to me is just like check number one, like can't do it. Check number two, 3 of the last 6 years, he's missed time due to injuries. So like while you're saying you could point to the injuries, like you absolutely can point to the injuries because he's already 32 years old. So when you're talking about a 32-year-old quarterback that's missed part of the last three seasons, how does that traject over the next three seasons? Like, am I so sure that he's going to be available for me at 35 years old? That's definitely a concern. I think the team and the instability of the team gives me concern, right? So if you're the Cowboys, do the Cowboys think they have a franchise quarterback? Yes, they do. To answer that question, yes, they do. Do I think they have a franchise quarterback? No, I don't. Because I think if you looked at the next 3 years, am I certain that I'm going to have high 80, low 90 grading in all of the next 3 years? The answer is no. Not to scare anybody, but like if you look at Russell Wilson and when his decline started, right, it was age 32. And if you looked at Russ before that, you'd probably say his career was an elite career, right? Like guy played in multiple Super Bowls, high grading year after year, always put his team in contention, turned 32 and it plummeted. Okay. So like literally, if you line them up, it doesn't look great. I think the Tyler Guyton pick is looking bad. He hasn't even posted a 60 graded season yet in his 2 years. Terrence Steele, the other tackle, has a sub 60 pass blocking grade this year. Like you're looking at a team with very poor blocking at the tackle position, which is massive. And when you're talking about a quarterback with injury concerns, I'd like him to have a good offensive line. So I do have real concerns about the long-term success, but I think ownership knows how important the offensive line is. That gives me a little bit of hope, right? The past 2 years, first round picks on the offensive line is a huge investment. Making sure Lamb is paid, going and adding Pickens, right? Like they know, you like to hate on the Cowboys. I give them a lot of credit because they always do know what they need to do to be successful. And they're always competitive, right? Like it's very rare that the Cowboys are not competitive. Have they won? Different story, but they're always competitive. That gives me hope for Dak Prescott. But again, even if we just said the only concern I have is he only has 1 year in the last 10 where he's graded over 90. So I'm not going to put him in the elite tier. I think that's a good enough argument. I could even just put it there and be done.
Could you imagine if Dak Prescott in any of the last handful of years had a defense called the Legion of Boom, what kind of freaking success he could have had as a team. And Dak never had what Russ had. So I don't want to go there, but I will say one thing that you mentioned, which could also be a feather in the cap of why Dak is elite, despite not being, for the most part, talked about in that tier. Yeah, he does have subpar offensive tackle play, and he's still second best in the NFL in pressure to sack ratio. The dude navigates the quarterback position, the pocket, so well at such a high level. That is incredibly difficult to do, to have below average tackle play on both sides and still be elite from a pressure to sack rate type of play style. That's incredible. So yes, well, and he's not like the athlete he was before his freaking fibula or tibia, whichever bone is at the bottom, they're kind of stuck out of his skin during the COVID year. Like, yeah, he's not that, but he still does move around quite a bit and make stuff happen as we saw this past week even. So I get it. I get if you're concerned.
That's elite with concerns. That's what I was saying. Like we have two tiers that both have the elite word in it. I do think he's elite, but I definitely have concerns.
Okay. You be concerned. You be concerned. I'll go ahead and roll dice in the bathroom, as the great Bosh Lombardi says.
Do you want to finish off your list or do you want me to throw out one?
Let's throw out yours and we'll see if he's on my top four.
All right. My next two are going to be controversial. I'm okay with it. I think Drake May at this point, I think the Patriots think Drake May is a franchise quarterback, and I agree with them. If you're talking about a 23-year-old that is on the same trajectory as the other guys that we talked about on my elite list, the Mahomes and the Allens. You look at what that organization was a year ago and how it looked and the inconsistencies. 1 year of having a good head coach in Mike Vrabel, 1 year of them spending draft picks that actually made sense, right? They add an offensive tackle. They brought in Stephon Diggs in free agency. They spent on their defense and they put together a legitimate team, right? Travion Henderson, we both really liked at running back. Like, they did things we like. And in 1 year, he now has an 84.9 offensive grade, which is fifth in the NFL, 84.1 passing grade, fifth in the NFL, a 9.3 ADOT, 21.8 pressure to sack rate, which isn't great, but it's still like okay. 3.07 time to throw, 21 big time throws, fifth most in the NFL, 13 turnover worthy plays, 11th most. We're talking again about a 23-year-old in his second year in the NFL. The team currently has the eighth best pass blocking grade. So like just statistically speaking, you're talking about a guy that already took that leap. Besides that, the team is winning at like a monumental level from last year. Like, this is a team that might be the number one seed in the AFC. Like, the Patriots clearly think they have the guy. And I can't sit here and say I see any reason why I wouldn't think that he could be this for three to 5 years.
Yeah, Drake May is in my elite tier. Just straight up elite. And the other thing about May is like, yeah, dude, they're the number one seed in the AFC right now. And as far as I'm concerned, the team around him still isn't really that good. The only other offensive player graded 80 plus at his position, anywhere close to even great, let alone elite, is Stephon Diggs. And say what you want about Diggs, and he's playing well and all that. This is not the Stephon Diggs of old, who a couple years ago and prior to his injury could completely take over games and would just be completely unguardable for stretches at a time. That's not this Diggs. He's still incredibly effective and very good, and Drake May is taking every advantage of that. But this isn't game breaker Stephon Diggs of, you know, 2021 and so on. This is a different type of player that May is having success with as his number one option. And like I said, no other players above 80 grade. He doesn't have any elite offensive linemen right now. That offensive line is just kind of growing with him, you know, with young Campbell on the outside, on Onwenu's finally settling into a home, thankfully, for the most part. So, and Travion Henderson, explosive, but not necessarily a bell cow, but a really great weapon to have. This dude's getting it done with like Keyshawn Boutte as his second or third wide receiver or second or third option on any given play.
Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper.
Yeah Hunter Henry, you know.
Kyle Williams.
Yeah. Like, this is, it actually is almost reminiscent of like the Patriots of 2004, 2005, 2006, where they didn't have a stud receiver for all those years prior to Randy Moss, but they were still getting it done on the offensive end with great success. May's pretty much doing that at 23 years old. So yeah, absolutely. He's in my elite tier. He's going to be there for quite a while. I don't have any concerns with him. I just, you know, we sat here at the start of the season saying, well, you know, Patriots will probably be picking maybe in the back end of the top 10, top 12-ish of the draft, and that'll allow them to add more high-end talent to this team so that they could grow with Drake May. They're way beyond that at this point. So the concern I have is they're not going to get a top 12 player in the upcoming NFL draft to perhaps add to the offense for Drake May because they're performing so well already atop the freaking conference.
Yeah. I think those are my concerns as well, right? So like the real concerns I have are he's young and he needs to prove consistency, right? Like, can he do it for more than one season? Can he do it for a second, right? Like, there is a thing like the sophomore slump is real. I think even if, you know, you weren't good in your rookie year and you turned out good in your second year, there's a good chance your third year looks a little bit worse. So we could see regression. I think that's a real concern. And then the other one is the same thing. It's like you look at kind of like the Giants when Dable started and how they made it to like the second round of the playoffs and then just plummeted year after year after that. Because when you go and you spend a ton of money in free agency and you bring in like good veteran players, it's kind of like you can hide some blemishes, right? So I want to see continued success and I want to see them add like long-term talent, not a year of Stephon Diggs or a year of a pass rusher. Like, show me that you can build this team to be a long-term fighting weapon to support your young and promising quarterback. But I think they do it. Like, I definitely think they do it. Since you're done with your elite list, should I just go ahead and name my last one?
Yeah, I won't say, boy, George Pickens would look really good in New England either. Yeah, go ahead.
He would, dude. This one is definitely debatable. Okay, I'm going to sit here and say it, but I think if you asked me if this was an elite player, the answer is yes. And if you asked the team, I would say they would say yes too. And I think it's Jaden Daniels. Okay, 24 years old. The organization took a huge step in trying to improve the situation for him, right, with adding Laremy Tunsil, Debo, 90.6 PFF grading as a rookie and a 76.7 this year is very good. And I talked about it, like sophomore slump is real, but if your sophomore slump is still the second best quarterback of your class with like the best potential, you know, quarterback class that we've seen in our lifetime with in terms of like first round talent, That's pretty special, right? 84.7 passing grade last year, 74.9 this year. Here he has 31 big time throws and only 19 turnover worthy plays, under 20% pressure to sack rate, 3.06 time to throw. The issue is they don't have a ton of picks to keep improving the situation around him, which is definitely concerning, but they do have their first round pick. You know, that is the most important thing. You kind of hope they trade back and get a bit more so they could add depth to this team. The injury to his non-throwing elbow is obviously a concern. I think our concern going into this was like, he's a frail dude, right? And like, will he last in the NFL? That is a legitimate concern. But at 24 years old, with this being really the only injury, and again, it's his non-throwing arm, I sit here and say, I'm very confident for the next 3 years, he can perform at a high level and make sure this team is in contention. His pass blocking grade around him, 13th best in the NFL. So not great, but not bad. It's kind of middle of the pack. But again, real concern is, will he stay healthy? And with that play style, rushing the ball at his size, will he stay healthy? And again, similar to New England, will they add long-term pieces to actually help him thrive? Not Debo Samuel, who's at the end of his career, and other guys like Terry McLaurin, who's already 30, right? Like, we need long-term pieces to match with this quarterback because you do have something special and he's already shown it.
Yeah, I have. I mean, I agree with what you said, but I have Jaden Daniels in my elite of concern because, yes, he's a frail dude, but also coming into the league, we talked about how this dude needs to protect himself, and he doesn't. Yeah. And with that stature, not protecting yourself, it's a big risk. And we saw that, I mean, just unnecessarily even, and the elbow injury looked worse than I guess it ended up being, but it was because he was trying to do too much and stop a fall, and it's just, A, in garbage time, it was unnecessary to even throw yourself in that situation. But B, just, again, he didn't protect himself, and now we're going to head into year three, and now his weapons, like you said, are older. How are you going to replace McLaurin? How are you going to replace Debo Samuel when the time comes? Those guys are exiting their prime, if not going to be out of it. And at that point in time, you're going to get close to contract talks for Jaden Daniels' extension. How do you build a team around him at that point? I also don't really love the coaching situation over there in Washington. That's a concern of mine. So, and then when I look at,
can I answer that real quick? Just because I have a little bit of a theory on that, right? Like, I think Dan Quinn is fine. I think Dan Quinn is actually a good coach. Cliff Kingsbury, I've made it known on this podcast that I think is like pretty gimmicky. And I do think he's going to end up getting a head coaching job after this year. And I think that's a good thing for the rest of the offense, because it's one of those situations where like he comes in a league again with its new playbook and it's kind of a little bit different. And in year one, it looks fantastic and he can fool a bunch of people, but he hasn't fooled a lot of people in year two. Right. So like, is it a good thing to maybe get a change there at offensive coordinator? And again, it's like one of those situations where it is such a good quarterback. I do think you attract a very good offensive coordinator for that job if that happens.
Okay. Two of my favorite, I like looking at turnover worthy play rate and adjusted completion percentage. And right now, Jaden Daniels is kind of middle of the pack in both. You have to lower the qualifier first off because he's only played six games because he couldn't protect himself and had the injuries. So that's goes back to concern one. But he's kind of 14, he's 14 and 15 in both. He's just kind of middle of the pack there. And so, you know, when the fundamentals of playing quarterback from the pocket within structure aren't, they're still not quite there, and they weren't supposed to be there. That's not the type of player he was. So again, I have him in a leap of concerns. These are just some of the concerns that I have about him as far as maintaining an elite level when the game catches up to him, when he does have to sort of evolve his play style in order to last in this league. He's not there yet. And because of the missed time, now you're extending that timeline. It just, you know, so when it gets messy, sometimes it doesn't always work out, and things can kind of get a little hairy there. So I just don't love sort of the amalgamation. That's a word there, Chris. You could look it up, of those things together. It's just some cause for concern. I'm not sure, like, if he's missing time now, is the timing going to end up just not aligning with his weapons around him? And then if there is a coaching change, and then you got to adjust to that system while still trying to evolve your game, is it always just going to be this kind of rocky hemming and hawing there where things just don't ever just fit and flow nicely because of, you know, again, not necessarily his fault, but in a sense it is his fault, due to injuries and this other stuff. Like, you know, it's a concern that things don't always sync up the way they're supposed to. It doesn't mean he's going to be bad. It doesn't mean he's not going to be top 10 or 12 in the league, but can he be a mainstay at the elite or borderline elite level? Some things still have to come together in order for that to happen, and it's not a guarantee that they will.
I'm okay with that, right? Like, I think that that's why we argued this and why we kind of sorted out. I'm going to keep him where I have him. You're going to keep him where you have him. I think, again, we finished our elite tiers. I had four, you had four. Mahomes, Allen, and May were in both of ours. You had Dak. I had Daniels. Let's go into our elite but nervous tier. And I think we have to start the conversation with one of two players and kind of talk about why we didn't have them in the elite tier. I'm going to start it off and talk about Joe Burrow, okay? Joe Burrow, 28 years old still, but already has 3 years where he's missed some time. He's had an ACL, MCL, PCL his rookie year. 2023, he tore his wrist. And then 2025, this year, he missed the majority of the season with turf toe. But on the flip side of that, he has 3 of 6 years with 90-plus grading. So we're talking about when he does play, he is probably in that very, very elite tier, like the top two guys, Allen and Mahomes-esque grading and production. 83.0 grading this year, 93.9 last year with 38 big-time throws and 15 turnover-worthy plays. But his offensive line is 28th this year in pass blocking with a 55.4 grade. His receiving group is 12th best this year. Again, if you asked me if he's an elite quarterback, I'd probably say yes. If you asked me if the team thinks he's an elite quarterback, I'd probably say yes. But I think my concern list was too strong and deep for me to just kind of push him into that tier. And honestly, the number one question I have is, are the Bengals ready to have a franchise quarterback? Right? Like, are the Bengals actually ready for this, to have a quarterback this good? The team is bad without him. When he's not there, they are one of the worst teams in the NFL. They can't seem to fix the offensive line. There hasn't been a season, really, where Burrow has played where he's had a good offensive line. And just for context, he has a 2.58 second time to throw, which would be first in – that's career. That would be second in the NFL this season behind Tua, who is absurdly quick at getting the ball out, okay? They aren't willing to keep top talent, right? They kept Chase and Higgins. That's huge payroll. That's $69 million a year to those two players at receiver. But they're probably going to lose Trey Hendrickson. They've lost Awuzie, Reader, and Von Bell. So what are they doing, right? Are they just going to keep playing this kind of game of, hey, when Joe Burrow is healthy, hopefully we have the team and hopefully lightning strikes and we can make it there again? Or are they going to eventually say, we could get the world for Joe Burrow if we move him? Maybe we move him and try to rebuild this thing and actually get that ground foundational talent that we've lost over the last few years. I think they keep him, but I do think it's like, again, if you're talking about a franchise in the next 3 years, you know this guy's going to grade for you every single year. I start to worry that the injuries are just catching up to him.
The injuries are catching up to him, and the foundation of the Bengals is just rotten as a team. They just don't have what it takes foundationally. There's too many fatal flaws there. That offensive line is still a joke. We mentioned this when Burrow first got hurt. I imagine he's now over this number, but Andrew Luck retired because of the beating he took after 6 years, in 6 years in the NFL. At the time of Joe Burrow's injury earlier this year, he had been sacked 27 more times than Andrew Luck had thus far. And that was in Burrow's sixth season compared to Andrew Luck's six full seasons in the NFL before retiring. I imagine now it's probably over 30 sacks that he's taken since. I mean, he's got like the nursery rhyme, like head, shoulders, knees, and toes. Like he's just got all the injuries at this point under his belt. It's terrible. It's not, and these you could say like are really not his fault. He's not out there playing like Jackson Dart and Jaden Daniels, throwing himself in harm's way. He gets rid of the ball at a crazy high, at a crazy fast level, and is still getting destroyed at quarterback. It's everything around him that is the concern that eventually breaks him down, or has broken him down already. And he's still playing, he's still going, he still be at a high level. He just came back and caught a double already. That's awesome, but there's no way you can rely on this for the long term. Do the Bengals have the stones, the vision to successfully pull off some type of trade of Joe Burrow? No, they won't. Even if it ends up being the right move to have done, they won't do that. He keeps them in contention. He sells enough jerseys. Ownership over there is not serious. So unfortunately for Burrow, he's stuck there, and he's just going to go down with that ship. He's going to keep the ship afloat at a great level because of who he is and how he plays, but he's never going to get over that hump. The AFC is too deep. It's too strong at the top, and his team is not good enough at all when you remove him from the equation. So yeah, he's absolutely elite with concerns, and the concerns are mostly the fault of everything around him that eventually become his concerns.
Yeah, that's a great point. Didn't like the Amarius Mims pick. Shamar Stewart on the defensive line, like, I like it, but it's not enough, right? Like, there's just been, you said it, there's too many holes for them to just solve it in one draft or two drafts or maybe even three. Like, they really need, and they don't have money anymore, right? Like, they don't have money to spend in free agency. They're losing guys left and right. It's just not a great situation. Do you want to start it off on Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I was shocked in doing my research and notes for this. I knew it was bad. I had no idea he was 25th in the league right now, grade-wise, among qualifying quarterbacks in 2025. That's absurd to me. So, yeah, ninth highest turnover-worthy play percentage for Lamar Jackson this year. Like, I know fumbles are kind of always a thing and a risk, but ninth highest turnover-worthy play percentage in the NFL among all quarterbacks, 21st adjusted completion percentage, third highest pressure-to-sack ratio. What? This is Lamar Jackson. Like, this is not who we've come to know for the better part of a decade. He's taking sacks. He's putting the ball in harm's way. He's not winning games. I mean, granted, sometimes maybe it's just a bad year. You know, sometimes, yeah, you know, shit just happens, right? It's the NFL. It's tough. And sometimes things just don't go your way. You can't really get it back on track, even though they kind of started to for a little bit here, you know, for this season, but never really got it off the ground. That's bad. And then when you add in, which I know you're going to dive into more of, the style of play of Lamar Jackson, how sustainable is that as you enter your 30s? What injuries is he dealing with at this point in time that he's just playing through, which you could say, oh, well, that's the reason why. Okay, yeah, well, he's getting older. And unless his playing style is going to change, how big of a concern is that moving forward? And to be clear, especially us, we have talked about over and over again the evolution of Lamar Jackson as a passer. He really grew into a great passer in the NFL. This isn't one of those, you know, low-hanging fruit. Oh, well, he needs to be better. No. Lamar Jackson's a quarterback who's a badass runner and has been for the better part of this decade. Then make no mistake about it. But that hasn't been the case this year, and he's playing through some stuff, and he is getting older. Is it finally just with, you know, maybe Mark Andrews being older, not having an alpha receiver similar to the Bills at wide receiver, finally just catching up to them, and the offensive line, like, you know, kind of being a bit of a seesaw? They're good sometimes, they're bad others, and just not really consistent. And Lamar was always able to just paper over all that stuff by being Superman. But you can't be Superman over and over and over and over and over again, especially as you enter your 30s with that type of play style. He's not the same type of runner as a Josh Allen, who is just a tank and can kind of run you over, or a Mahomes, who just kind of eludes and slips away. Lamar is more of the explosive type of runner that, again, that doesn't age as well as those other sort of running archetypes do for quarterback or any position, really. There's got to be a legitimate concern there. 3 years from now, I still think he's going to be one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL. So maybe from that metric, yeah, for sure. They got their franchise guy for another 3 years at least. But is it enough, again, when you throw in the curve that you have to grade on in the AFC because of how deep that conference is and the other names in that conference? I'm not sure it's good enough for the Ravens. I'm not sure how they get out of it.
I almost fear that we're premature getting here because he is still 28. He's not 30.
Big fear of mine. Right? It's a big fear of mine.
He's still 28 years old. I think you can make a very strong argument that he was the best player the past two seasons, 24 and 23. There's an argument that he was the best player in the NFL. 3 of his 8 years, he graded over 90. So again, you're talking about a guy that's done enough to be in that tier. And I think if you ask the Ravens, they would say, yes, they have their franchise quarterback. And I would agree with them. I think they have their franchise quarterback. But the concern I have, right, is like Lamar has proven every hater wrong. He's proven everyone wrong. But there's still one thing he needs to prove, and that's that he has longevity in his game, that his game will last the test of time, right? It will not be a 6-7 year thing, drop in the pan, that it can be that he's 35 and still being a top quarterback in the NFL, because there really hasn't been a player with his style that's done that. So that is the concern that I have. Can he actually prove that right? You touched on it, 62.6 PFF grade this year, 5 big time throws with 10 turnover worthy plays. It's been bad. 23.5 pressure to sack rate is third worst in the NFL. He has 0 touchdowns passing or rushing in 3 straight games. He has 6 turnovers in those games as well. Okay, so did not score a touchdown. He has not produced a touchdown in 3 straight games. I was reading articles about his ailments. He's got a hamstring, toe, knee, ankle. Like the list that they go on to about things that he might be dealing with is massive. 24th pass blocking team grade. Like all of the things start to add up and you go, like you said, is this just a bad year or is it a trend of things that are going to start going bad and it's going to weigh over time? Craziest part of all this, Ray, is the Ravens are 6-6 and in second place. Like they still have a very good shot of making the playoffs. So like we might be saying this, he might make the playoffs and go on a tear. That'd be awesome. I would be psyched for him. I want to see him do it for longer. We talk about guys that are running quarterbacks primarily, you know, again, Lamar Jackson can throw the ball as good as anybody in the NFL, but he does rush the ball a lot. Running backs at 28 years old, we tell you that their careers are basically done, right? There are, I think, 3 running backs. I'm just saying, man. I got to say it a little bit, right? It's like 28 is the age where you say, this running back, starting to worry about him. So again, Lamar at 29 and 30, will he be able to step back even more from the running and become primarily a pocket quarterback? I would like to see that because I do want him to prove that there is longevity to his game. I want to see Lamar at 35 still leading a team to the playoffs. So I have hope, but I definitely have concerns.
I think it's fair to say neither of us would be shocked if in 2026 he comes back and is the same arguably best player in the entire league, MVP guy in 2026. Like, that wouldn't shock us at all. Because again, no. The name of the tier is elite, but concerned. You got to be concerned. He's got multiple injuries and they're having their worst year in a while.
Can I see that happen in 26, 27, and 28, right? Those are the reasons I have concerns. Mm-hmm. Do you have Justin Herbert on your list here?
I have. Where did I put Justin Herbert on this list here? Let's see. I do not have Justin Herbert on this list. No, I don't.
Really? Okay, well, I do. Can I talk about him?
Sure.
Okay, so Justin Herbert, 27 years old. He already has 2 of his 6 years in the NFL with 90-plus grading, and he has 2 more with 85-plus grading. Extremely productive with less-than-ideal pieces around him. Extremely durable despite playing through some nasty injuries. I think he had, like, broken ribs he played through in one of the playoff series. Finally has a winning head coach, which I think we would all agree on. But there are real concerns as well, right? But again, if you ask the Chargers if they have a franchise quarterback, I'd say yes. If you ask me, this dog, I'm going to fucking kill him. Give me a second. So I think if you asked the team if they have a winning quarterback, a franchise quarterback, they would say yes. If you ask me, I'm going to say yes. But there are real concerns. The offensive line can't stay healthy. They're 30th in pass blocking grade with a 50. They've lost both tackles for the year. Slater has a ruptured patella tendon, can't stay healthy. Like, I'm legitimately concerned about him because I think it's going to be year over year that this dude is just not available, right? Or he's playing eight games. Like, that, when you pay a guy like they paid him, that just can't happen. Joe Alt has an ankle injury. I think that's a little bit more rare. I think he's going to be fine. There also hasn't been a season where the stars aligned for them. They're 0-2 in playoff games under him. So, like, Justin Herbert has not won a playoff game yet in his six NFL seasons. So we're talking about an elite quarterback that has not won a playoff game. Definitely concerning. In one of the playoff games that he's played in, he threw four interceptions. So I know I'm not just like cherry picking, you know, picking on this guy like you talked about with Dak, but I do think at this point, I need to see him start to be successful in the playoffs, at least be competitive. But I think if you're just talking regular season, again, four of his six seasons with 85 plus grading, I don't know how you don't call that guy elite.
He's in my can win with tier. You're not looking to replace him, but you're not winning with him. You're not. You're kind of winning with him. You're just kind of holding steady. Like, I don't know. I need more.
And you think that's him and not the offensive line and the coach that they had to replace, like the defense. I mean,
we just talked about several quarterbacks and how their offensive lines are questionable, but they're still putting up, you know, more elite play. I mean, right now, Justin Herbert is 27th in big time throw percentage in the league right now. Like, that's,
yeah.
What are you doing here? Like, I will say, I think it's fair to say the majority of the issues are more so Chargers related than Justin Herbert. But after a certain point, if you're not able to ascend that into something greater than 9 wins a year, just missing the playoffs or a first round exit, and you're just kind of that team that if you play someone and that other team is legitimately good, they beat you. But if they're a pretender, you win. Yeah. You're just kind of that barometer, you know, like you're the guy that fights the championship boxers before they go for the championship bout, right? Like, you're that mm-hmm. stepping stone. That's basically what they are. So he's like a really good looking stepping stone. Like, looks like an elite quarterback, acts like an elite quarterback, throws like an elite quarterback, you know, everything looks the part, but it just doesn't produce an end result like an elite quarterback. You could say, well, then those are concerns. I guess, but I need you to be better than, you know, 27, the big time throw percentage. I need you to be better. I need you to be better than that. Like, he's just playing really good, and that's cool. That's really good. But to me, that's just a step below elite, and you haven't shown me enough to get above that tier to me. I don't see it. Okay. And the excuses could be all legitimate, but it's like, you're six of that now. So
it just feels like a Chargers thing. Like, when we talk about Chargers throughout our lifetime, it's just been this team that just cannot put it together. Like, always. So, like, I understand what you're saying, but I do lean on, I think it's more team and culture issues than anything else. And I think Harborough is the guy that I hope fixes that. We talked about Dak already. I had him on this part of the list. You throw a name out. If you have, how many more do you have? I don't even know.
Oh, let's see. But I got two more.
I also have two more. I don't think they're the same, but you go ahead and throw one out.
Based on your criteria, I'm going to go with the one I think you're more likely to have in this tier. But okay. Baker Mayfield, do you have him in here?
I do not.
All right, let's save him then for the next part of this episode series. How about Matthew Stafford?
I do.
All right, talk about him.
Okay, Matthew Stafford. He's old, 37 years old.
Really straightforward.
He's in his 17th season. But if you just looked at the last seven, he has 5 with 82 plus PFF grading, 93.4 PFF grading this year, leads the NFL, 27th pass blocking group this year. So one of the worst, right? But he's still putting up that elite grading. But he does have one of the best receiver duos in the NFL. And it's funny because Devontae Adams, if you asked me a year ago, I'd say he's washed. And he basically has 2 touchdowns every game now, which is just insane. I do think if you ask the Rams if they have a franchise quarterback, they'd say yes. If you ask me, I would say yes. The issue is like, there really is no way of knowing how long this guy's going to keep competing. And the reason I say yes is because at 37 years old, yes, he's old, but there are two or three quarterbacks in the NFL currently playing at 40. So it is possible that you could get 3 years out of him. And he's playing at this level. He's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. Like, I would bet that it's going to be good, right? And he's been durable lately. He wasn't early in his career, but he has been lately. I just think also, like, technically, if they go ahead and win the Super Bowl, like, he retires.
You think
he just retires, right? And, like, that's a real concern, which is, like, you know, you take the Super Bowl, but you do lose your franchise quarterback as a result of it. The only other thing, no, that's it. Yeah. It's just like, win the Super Bowl, retires. How do we guarantee he's playing for three more years? You can't. I don't even think there's a guarantee he's playing next year. But I mean, all the numbers suggest he's a franchise quarterback.
Yeah. This one is incredibly straightforward because it's like, here's a fantastic quarterback right now. This is like a borderline MVP player at the moment. Maybe not even borderline, just straight legitimate MVP caliber player right now, but he's 37 years old. So how long will he play for? The only thing I'll add is that I do think McVay and that system and that offense and how they're playing football, if he were to try and play for the next 3 years until he's 40, if that's what they want to do, I think that style of offense gives him a chance to do that successfully. It's a little bit different than playing for Arthur Smith at 40 something years old, you know, especially with an Achilles injury under your belt here. So this isn't an Aaron Rodgers situation, or at least doesn't look like it could be an Aaron Rodgers situation, right? We never know what the future holds injury wise, but I think the style of play that he's found himself in with McVay, that marriage is fantastic. Obviously it's already produced, you know, elite results. So if he wants to continue playing, I think that is a factor in his favor that says, hey, 3 years from now, he could still be playing at a high level, maybe not top three in the NFL level like he currently is, but a very high level that you could compete for a championship with. I think that I won't go as far as saying that that's feasible or probable, but that's a big factor in on the right side of the ledger for that to happen. So it makes me feel a little bit better than just blindly comparing him to, well, look at what Aaron Rodgers is doing and how that's working out, and look at how Kirk Cousins is broken down. Like, it's a little bit different given the marriage that's currently there in LA. So that's the only thing I'll add to that. Otherwise, I mean, yeah, this is an elite quarterback. He's just old. It's not much to it than that.
Do you know what Aaron Rodgers did in his age 37 season?
Probably threw like 46 touchdowns. Or is that
he won? He won MVP. He won MVP. Yeah. Do you know what he did in his age 38 season?
Towards Achilles?
He won MVP. So, like, I'm just saying, like, Matthew Stafford could theoretically do this for a few more years. And in his age 39 season, he threw for 3,700 yards and 26 touchdowns. Like, there is a chance that he can do this for 3 years at a very high level before his age 40 season when he plays for the Jets and tears his
ACL. And then he tore his Achilles. How the hell old is Aaron Rodgers at this point?
He's 42.
Damn.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's Vinny Testaverde status on the Cowboys. Yeah. Wow.
I did have one more guy, but maybe similar to you, I save it. You had Baker in this tier. I have Jalen Hurts in this tier. We're going to talk about them next time and we'll debate them.
Oh.
And we'll debate them.
Yeah, save it. I'll get ready for that one. Okay.
Yeah, I figured you'd want to load your gun on me for that one. So I'll be excited to discuss it. But everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't yet, please give us a follow on Facebook, TikTok, X, and X at @all22_PFF. And give us a review wherever you watch or listen to your podcast. And have a great rest of your day.